The University Tower chimes, bringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, dapper as usual, is Professor Joe Abbasid.
Always dapper.
I wasn't expecting to be first, so caught me by surprise.
How are things going, Joe?
Things are pretty good. Just wrapped up another week. And
so midterm, right?
Yeah, midterm and getting caught up with grading and projects and stuff, so.
Sure. Grading? Ooh, that seems like real work.
Yeah.
Getting caught up. Everything has a deadline. Right, Professor Jim Tubbs?
Oh, yeah. Everything has a deadline.
Yes. The more competent you are, as I believe the joke plot goes, the more deadlines are attracted to you, actually. That's what I've heard.
Oh, they just swarm in the window.
Like locusts.
Just, and under the door. In the mailbox.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely hilarious. Let's see. So what deadline are you staring down more recently, Jim?
Well, this deadline is really more getting ready for class on Monday because I've got so many other things to do between now and then.
Of course. Of course. Let's see. What kind of deadlines does someone like Professor Dan Maggio, who works for the FIRST organization, have?
I don't have any deadlines.
But competitions are coming up.
How about live lines?
Lifelines. I have lifelines. I have deadlines like everybody else, but obviously not as pressing, or I wouldn't be here.
How was your trip? We missed you.
Oh, it was good. We were curling last week in Potomac, Maryland, and it was a blast. Two teams from Detroit were down there, and it was a lot of fun.
Great.
From the Detroit Curling Club here?
Yeah.
So, Dan, you are becoming a freaking professional, man.
We had a blast. So. Cool.
Awesome.
And next week I will be in Midland for another.
He's already an honorary Canadian.
Which is more than I ever
he's
do.
He's more Canadian than I am.
Because he curls all the time.
He's going to come to a future Ask the Professor and tell us he's been chosen for the American national team.
Right. Actually, the person that won the event down there is Debbie McCormick, who is one of our USA Olympians.
Oh, very cool. So, got Winter Olympics coming up this winter.
Bringing in the ringer.
I'm trying to remember, where are the Winter Olympics this year?
In Korea.
It's Korea, yeah. South Korea.
Okay, there you go.
Ready, got a question wrong?
Heck of a start.
For every question we get wrong, we have to eat a jelly bean.
No.
You can only take one bad flavor before your mind gets blown. We actually have, as previously mentioned in all these recent shows, especially the Halloween one about candy, the Bean Boozled game, and it's an eye opener, folks.
And Joe seems to be trying all of them.
He's a brain.
Oh, that face Joe just made.
Yeah. That's the voice of Professor Dave Chow, aka Professor Plum.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Yeah. Thanks for coming, Dave. So where are these kids in our neighborhood coming around saying they can mow lawns?
I don't know. They stopped by like last week and I missed them. I'm like, come back.
What were
You've
they
got
looking
a big
for?
Yard.
They're cutting grass for a couple of bucks. They're trying to earn money. Matt and I, we've been lamenting
I'll
that.
I'll bet it's more than a couple bucks.
I'm sure, especially with the lawn I have.
Yeah, I know. My 14-year-old, I've tried at this point probably 4 straight years every summer to get him to take some interest in using the lawnmower, doing our own lawn, taking the heat off me for a while. I'm like, you could make a lot of money if you did this. I'll let you borrow my lawnmower to do it. And it just doesn't seem to be
Get him a
off.
Pet goat.
Well, yep. I live in a condo complex, so they take care of the yard. However, I did have to go out and buy a weed whacker because I planted a little $1 Eastern Market mint plant some years ago.
Yeah, and it's spread all over.
I have to cut it back the time.
Yeah.
Wow. Go crazy.
Someone who knows her Eastern Market mint plants. It's Professor Heather Hill Vasquez.
Hello.
So what was the new thing that you planted since we're coming to the end of the growing season in Michigan?
Hemp.
I don't think you planted hemp, did you?
I actually planted a vine called Cathedral Bells.
Cool.
That was apparently discovered somewhere in South America by a Jesuit. Unfortunately, it's just all vine, and the flowers that are supposed to look like cathedral bells, the plant never produced them.
Aww.
But it's that vine that grows up and strangles people, is it?
I don't know.
Like a horror movie.
Is Olivia going to be swinging from one of the vines?
It's all over the place. It's an annual, so it will die back.
Okay.
But I was really hoping to see some blossoms. But it's been a really weird growing season.
Yes, yeah, it has. Well, it's been a really weird season, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Mid-October, and I'd say 90% of our trees are still blazing green.
Yeah.
That's pretty much true.
Well, also, we had the hottest day of the year in autumn.
A couple of weeks ago.
Thank you. And I don't know if you have walnut trees, but our walnut trees, mm-hmm. two of them, bumper crop.
Wow.
Yes.
All the walnut trees are having
lots of them.
Last
year, none of one. This year, our yard is just full of them.
Cool.
And then they're foul-smelling husks.
Well, they're kind of rotting now.
Yeah, there's a very acidic smell.
Yes,
although the hardwood is worth a fortune.
Yes, it is. Don't forget to sell those trees.
So if you're missing a tree, you know who cut it down.
You know who knows.
Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. It's been a while since we've had some visual aids and some tree questions, things like that. If you stump the panel, you win an autographed photograph of the Ask the Professor panel and the ATP mug. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize too, the autographed photograph. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP or find us on Facebook. We have a nice little set of questions here for show 1811. And these were sent in by Gene Darren. That's kind of interesting. I don't have the picture printed out here because I just went for the text, but it says the Darren kids, pictured here, have questions for the ATP crew. The Darren kids seen here, minus napping baby sister, are all sporting their Titan t-shirts while they write you these questions. So
great.
We've got Evelyn, 12 years. She knows how to sail, is how she describes herself. She submitted this question under the Google form, but she came up with more. How many minutes old do the professors think they are?
Ooh, I actually had this.
So glad we've got Dan here with us today.
This
so
is a
glad.
Math question. Well, this might give away our ages.
Yeah, it would.
I'm old enough.
Well, you
to
can use me as
minutes.
An example.
So there's what's the song from Rent? 525,600 minutes in a year.
Something like that.
So if I've been alive for 30 years, 50 years.
I might be 21.
500, so 5 is 2.5, 25 million.
25 million minutes? That sounds about right. Yeah, 25 million minutes. We'll all take that. 30 years old.
I still like the Santa Claus thing. I'm older than my tongue and younger than my teeth thing.
Sure.
I like that one.
Sure. That's a good ballpark within a certain error bar for every one of the profs in the room, and
there
let's just
go.
Leave it at that.
Oh, right.
The average.
Yeah. We're not old. We're just 21 with a lot of experience.
What's our average age?
Let's find the mean age.
No,
let's
not.
That would be mean.
Yeah, I don't want to bring you down. I don't want to bring the average down.
Oh,
30. You did that without even blinking an eye, Dan.
Wait a minute. Now we're talking maturity or we're talking physical age? Because Lord knows if it's maturity, I've...
Speaking
I'm
of that subject, Evelyn's next question. I actually know the answer to this one. I think you guys probably do too. There's a traditional physiological age when your brain is essentially done developing. Do you know what that is?
18.
2.
25.
7.
16.
25 is closer. I hear it's between 21 and 22 usually is when your brain is done.
Yeah, that's when I was drinking
developing.
Heavily. Oh,
that's right. You missed it.
If a bar of soap hits the floor, is the soap dirty or is the floor clean? That's a good question, Evelyn.
Soap is always clean.
I think the soap is dirty.
I think the soap is dirty, too.
Wait, we
because
need
of the surfactant
this.
Quality of the surface of the soap would have gotten something to attach to
some
it, whereas
points.
The floor wouldn't.
Yeah, major points for using the word surfactant.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to agree with Professor Tubbs.
Yes, absolutely.
His use of the word surfactant.
10-year-old Amelia asks, fun fact, she scored a goal in soccer on the initial kickoff of
Excellent.
The game.
Excellent.
Congratulations. We need to send her a mug just for that.
Mm-hmm.
Why, if God loves us, do people die?
Because they get old and their organs wear out.
Or they get diseases. He wants me back for a recall. I got a warranty.
It's going to take several decades.
I got a warranty. That's all.
It's like, thanks, Amelia, for starting with the softballs.
I can think of another good answer, too, as a former biology major, because we would be overrun with people and lose all our resources pretty soon.
That's quite true.
People didn't die.
Yep. There is another adventure after
death is a luxury of sex.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Ooh, wait a moment. I got to think about that one.
Why do people seem to be addicted to electronics in modern culture, like phones and computers?
This is a question?
This is a question from Amelia.
They were talking about it on NPR.
Yeah.
What did they have to say, Joe?
At one point, Basically, it's like shifted the way in which we process information. Mm-hmm. Our brain is used to interpreting text certain ways, mm-hmm. written words, print. But now the digital nature of skimming and scanning and just strategically selecting.
But didn't that NPR article also say something like how technology is changing the way we look at the world? Like,
so now you can't stand to put down your phone for 10 minutes, but you can stand to not see your friends for 6 months.
Right. Right. Well, you're assuming I have friends. So.
Yeah. We're, instead of thinking in a linear fashion, past, present, and future, we're kind of living in a time that's all about the present, or at least we think we are. There's like this anxiety that if you're not up on the most recent...
Latest, greatest
email, text, you just can't take yourself away from it.
Sure. Amelia also asked, how do cicadas make such loud noises?
They rub their wings together.
Yeah, I think they do. Yeah. I think they do.
And they also broadcast in stereo.
Is it their legs or their wings?
Crickets are legs. I think cicadas are the wings because their wings fold over on themselves. Mm-hmm. They got big wings.
Mm-hmm. Amelia, her last question. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? This was actually a recent publication.
The egg.
No, it said the chicken. There was actually a scientific publication that poised the question, and chicken is actually
the one. Weren't there eggs before chickens?
No.
Like dinosaurs and other things previous?
Well, I think she means the chicken egg or the chicken.
Okay. Oh, now we're getting specific. All right.
What?
So I'm thinking there were other kinds of eggs before chickens were ever around.
Of course there are dinosaur eggs.
True. Yeah,
of course.
That's quite true. Where's Beth when I need her to back me up?
Little baby Tyrannosaurus
Thank
Rex
you. Yeah.
Eggs.
That's right. Well, not just that, but I would say that chickens probably were dinosaurs at some point from what we understand.
Right, because don't...
Or pterodactyls
don't
that
some
fell
scientists
to Earth.
Consider birds actually dinosaurs?
Don't yes, they are the inheritors of the line of the reptiles.
Thank you.
Last but not least, 7-year-old Eli asks, fun fact, I have to live with 3 sisters. Are there more birds or people on Earth?
Birds.
Yeah, it's got to be birds.
Got to be birds.
Because there's more insects than any other kind of organism besides maybe bacteria.
Bacteria, I think.
Birds are the ones that eat that stuff, so.
Yummy.
Why do feet stink?
Bacteria.
Bacteria.
There's also bacteria.
Yeah. Bacteria?
They love to eat our sweat, I think.
Yeah, secretions.
Gross.
Oh, my.
Thank you very much, Darren Family from Northville,
Those
Michigan.
Those were intriguing questions.
Those were intriguing. I like the open-ended nature of the questions from the children. That's kind of cool. We actually have a set of questions written by one of our recent guest panelists, outgoing Dean Chris Piscini. She's about to hand over the reins in just a few days here. And interesting set of 8 questions. All correct responses begin with the letter C. C for Chris Piscini. All right. Playing 14 NBA seasons with Philadelphia and L.A., he holds the record as the only player who ever scored 100 points in one NBA game.
Chamberlain.
Yes.
Wilt the Stilt.
Uncle Wilt. All right, let's see. This is an intensely radioactive element, number 96, and its symbol is CM, not cesium.
Selenium?
It's not selenium. Selenium is...
That's S.
Cerocysium?
CM.
Make up names all day.
You could say Bolonium.
Bolonium.
And I'll give you partial credit. How about it's named after...
Curium.
Yeah, it's named after
Madame Curie.
Yes. Yeah.
Who died of being exposed to too much of it.
Yes. She was... Well, actually, she passed away because she was exposed to plutonium.
Radium.
Yeah, and radium. Yeah. The Baltimore native is the author of novels including Executive Orders, Patriot Games, Sum of All Fears, Hunt for Red October.
Oh, Tom Clancy, yeah.
Tom Clancy, yes. Those were some fun years. Now I can't help but notice the Airport Fiction is still Tom Clancy, but he passed away a number of years ago. So it's Tom Clancy's franchise presents Joe Abbasett. And it's like someone else is writing the books now. Kind of funny. I have to say this. My niece and I actually have a game that we play because certain members of our family read exclusively a diet of Airport Fiction, for better or for worse. And some of the titles on these books are just sort of like you put them into a computer and it just sort of spat out like the way to put the words in order. It's like Honor of Duty, duty of honor. It's always military or something like that, you know? While we think about that crazy example, let's take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback, 1995.
Our next little bit of questions comes from Dirt Man.
Oh, dead Dirt Man.
From Kindy, Michigan. Oh, yes.
Is that someone new?
Oh, no.
Well, but Dirt Man's been around.
You know Dirt Man.
Aren't we going to Kindy? One of our road trips?
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
There's good bowling.
Is that where it is?
I didn't know that. It's a great place.
Where's Kindy?
Dan, it's in the thumb.
Of Indiana?
All of us carry the map of the state around with us on our bodies.
Right. Massachusetts is supposed to be doable, too. You just put your hand into these weird contortions.
Oh, is that?
This is Massachusetts.
George is making a threatening, perhaps obscene gesture.
Well, Dirt Man wants to know.
How do you say Cape Cod in Italian?
And we're back with some great questions from Chris Bassini, our sadly outgoing dean, soon to retire at the end of this academic year.
If she can climb over the moat that we're building for
her.
Yes,
exactly. Poor gal.
Thinks.
Poor gal. The Cup of Tea, Woman Bathing, The Boating Party. These are works by what female American impressionist?
Mary Cassatt?
Cassatt, I would hope. The design prof.
I think the best American impressionist. I love Mary Cassatt's stuff.
Do you do an impression of her?
No.
Oh, okay.
She was an impressionist.
Okay, got it.
No, it's not like Rich Little impressionism.
Very 1980s reference there. Roman emperor from 306 to 337. He converted to Christianity and, of course, famous year, 300.
Constantinople.
Yes.
I mean, Constantine.
The capital of Byzantium. Yes, so that became...
I was thinking of the city instead of the person.
Very well done. This city is the most populous one in South Carolina.
Columbia.
Columbia is what it says.
Also the capital.
Yes. He was the vengeful husband of Hester Prynne in The Scarlet Letter.
Charles. No. Oh, darn it.
Come on, Heather.
No.
Oh, come on. You can do
you
it. Do it, do it. Do it.
You got the C.
I can't.
Oh, come on.
It's a little bit sort of over the top, you know, nomenclature for the book, right? I always thought this was kind of goofy. But I love
Come on, work it out.
Scarlet Letter. His first name is Roger.
Roger
Clemens? Oh, no.
Yeah, that one I know. Darn. No.
Roger Chillingsworth, was his name.
Oh, that's just too pompous.
Chillingsworth. Yeah, Chillingsworth. No, you gotta say that with your teeth clenched.
Oh my gosh. Let's see what we got here. Connected with the fraudulent construction of the Union Pacific Railroad, this is now known as the political scandal of the 1870s.
Teapot Dome?
Mm-mm.
No, that was 1920s. Oh yeah, what was that?
The corrupt railroad.
It was in the Grant administration.
Partial credit, as usual. Emmett did come home the other day, my kindergartner, with a book of the five senses. And, of course, he's obsessed with trains. So everything, basically, I'm waiting for taste, you know, has to do with trains. I see a train, you know, whatever. I smell the exhaust of the train. I hear, and the teacher is translating what he's saying, the ding, ding, ding thing that goes in front of the road when the train goes by. That's what I thought of when you said the scandal. The train scandal.
Oh,
it was called the Crédit
Mobilier.
Yes, scandal of 1867. Came to the public's attention in 72, a few years later, involved the Union Pacific and Crédit Mobilier of America construction company. The company charged the railroad far higher rates than usual. Cash and $9 million in discounted stock were given to bribes and 15 powerful Washington politicians, including the vice president, Secretary of the Treasury, Senators, Speaker of the House, and other members
and
of the House.
And it was the dark shadow on the Grant administration.
One of the many
one of
dark
them.
Shadows.
Yeah,
I was going to say, that's the only
on
one.
On the Grant. Those were cool, Chris. You've been a very, very good partner on the show, please keep sending us fun
Send
stuff.
More, and we might even let you leave.
please don't promise
She's not going anywhere. She's just leaving the dean's office.
Possibly follow through on, okay? Don't promise.
That ankle tether we got on her works pretty well, right? It's invisible fencing.
Oh my gosh.
The dog collar with studs.
Yeah. She gets closer to McNichols. It gives her a slight shock.
The Dean collar.
Dear Matt and Profs, I just saw the Facebook Live video and couldn't help but hear Professor Tubbs' request.
Uh-oh. What did you ask for?
Questions about ocean liners.
Oh, no.
Goody.
Jim.
I couldn't exactly fulfill that request wholeheartedly, but I managed to come up with 15 questions about ships.
Wow.
Although I did manage to squeeze in 3 questions about cruises, just for Professor Tubbs.
Yay. Uh-oh.
So enjoy, Amber Hubley. Our friend Amber Hubley.
Thank you, Amber.
All the time. This is wonderful. Let's give it a whirl. What famous shipwreck had its wood salvaged for the construction of the La Navidad, or Christmas, because its wreck occurred on Christmas Day? It's a very famous ship.
Oh,
hint,
the
hint.
Santa
this,
Maria?
This last yeah. Monday, the Santa Maria. Yes. Oh, my. Yeah, I know I've said it a million times, but I'm Italian and Columbus was a moron. There's just no other way to put it. You thought the earth was shaped like a pear. Okay. Your math was a little off. What is the Union sloop Housatonic's biggest claim to fame?
It's... Oh, it was sunk by a submarine.
That's right. It was sunk by a
Hunley in right off Charleston Harbor.
Everybody else is going to take a smoke break, Jim. You're going to handle all these.
No,
yep.
I don't
this
think
this is going to
so.
Be like Christmas carols here.
I don't
we
think
just
so.
Sit back and watch you go at it.
Oh my!
Joe
gosh.
And I will be playing cribbage here. You know,
we haven't gotten any ocean liners.
Yeah.
Let's see. What was the first ship that had a rotating gun turret? That's cool.
Good Lord.
Merrimack or the Monitor?
Oh, the Monitor.
Yeah, it was the Monitor, yeah. It was the USS Monitor. Absolutely.
That was all it had. It was a flat deck
it was
with
a
rotating. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. The USS Constitution, Old Ironsides, has been restored, refurbished, and rebuilt so many times. Rumor has it, this is the only original part of the ship remaining.
Mass.
The bell?
No, none of those things.
It's steering wheel. It's in Boston.
That's a good yeah. guess, but that's not what
the
it
anchor?
Says here. Nope, that's no. another good guess.
The parrot.
Starts with the... Did you say the parrot?
The parrot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, never
Let's
know.
Go with that.
I'm thinking of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
He named the monkey, Jim. Starts with the letter K.
Keyhole?
The keel.
The keel.
Exactly.
Well, that's keyhole. A substantial part of the
no,
ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
the whole
I mean, how can
rib.
You, so why would that be the...
Because it's underneath
the
because, well, because
plastic.
It's
the spine,
it's
the, right?
The, yeah, it's the yeah. spine of the ship. So yeah. if it's been if they've been replacing the
around
the,
that
the hull around
yeah.
it,
yeah.
But I'm surprised okay. it's last right. that long because if the wood got
the,
wormy, it would too.
The keel, the long
that's true.
Of the bottom as
that's
well.
True.
No, the keel is just the very bottom
stretch,
of the ship.
Yeah.
I meant the part of the bottom. I guess I did get it wrong.
What was the last battle that battleship USS Missouri was involved in? It
think.
Definitely is not ocean liners when you're talking
Korean
about
war.
Battles.
All warships.
I'm thinking Korean.
The last
Vietnam.
Battle.
No, it was actually more recent.
Really? It was.
Mm-hmm. Pearl Harbor?
No, more recent than that.
No, more recent than that. Because it
More
it,
recent than Vietnam? Was it like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And that's yeah. Somalia or whatever.
Getting closer.
No, was it the first Gulf War?
Yeah, 1991. That's right.
Wow,
Persian
that
Gulf.
Thing's still,
yeah. still kicking.
Made it around, okay.
Still kicking.
It's done now, right? It's finally retired.
Yeah, I think it did get...
It's tied up in Pearl Harbor.
Right, right. Oh, my. Jim's choking on his own knowledge.
Yep.
What was the name of Captain Cook's famous ship that he used to explore the Pacific?
Captain Cook.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking Captain Crunch. I'm sorry.
Why didn't you say Captain Hook? Captain Hook is the obvious joke to make.
Oh, Captain Crunch. Because I'm thinking breakfast.
Captain Crunch.
The
I'm
HMS
sorry.
Something.
It definitely was the HMS something.
Let me see.
Maybe if we look at a piece of the Pacific Ocean, we might be able to.
Oh, jeez. HMS Water?
It's a classic British, you're literally naming your ship after like a principle. It's not even
the
Resolute.
Exactly. It's the HMS Endeavor.
Oh, the Endeavor.
Okay.
There have been many Endeavors
yes,
since then.
Have.
Many HMS Endeavors.
There's been many of this, too. The most decorated ship of World War II was the USS...
Most decorated.
Here's a hint. Dan knows the answer.
Enterprise?
Enterprise.
Yes. I was going to say that as a Star Trek joke,
but that's the reason why Gene Roddenberry gave that name.
Damaged
to
and then rebuilt?
Mm-hmm.
The nuclear aircraft carrier, right?
No, that was a later.
Oh, okay. How many Enterprises have there been now?
No.
You mean in Star Trek?
No, no. It's in reality.
They go back a ways.
Speaking of Star Trek, did anybody see the new one on CBS?
I saw what you posted about it.
I did not. I'm waiting, and
that's a sneeze.
Okay. All right. No, I'm holding. I'm waiting.
I've been holding it off for like 10 minutes now.
Okay. I'm waiting to see them all. I'm going to binge watch them all.
I'm not going to pay to see it after the first one.
Okay.
No comment. There goes our CBS sponsorship.
Oh, that we never had?
The $6.99. Well, I heard the first two were meh, and the third and fourth are better, supposedly.
Meh. Oh, I only saw. I'm not going to pay to see
meh.
Them.
No,
I'll binge watch.
Wait, you saw them too?
What? No. Oh, okay. I'm just repeating meh.
Meh?
Meh. Meh.
Is
that it's an
meh?
official meh. Rating.
Yes.
Meh.
What ship was considered by many to be the most hunted and targeted ship in history? Even had a movie and a hit song written
the
about
USS
it.
USS Enterprise.
The Bismarck?
The Bismarck is what it said.
It
took
it
over
was
400 hits from British guns, and it took 12 torpedoes before she finally went.
Yeah, well, the only problem the Bismarck had was one of those first torpedoes hit its rudder and locked it over in the heart of port, so it just kept going around in a circle. And they couldn't do anything to override that. It was a duck in a barrel, basically.
Poor ducks.
Ooh, this is going to make a few people scratch their heads. Why was the 1966 Batman movie world premiere held in Austin, Texas? Whew. It has to be about ships. That's the only...
What, the Batboat?
Yes, the builder of the Batboat, Glastron Industries, was headquartered in Austin.
No.
Wait, hold on. Where was this from?
Glastron Industries.
In where?
Austin, Texas.
Is there any water in Austin,
pretty,
Texas?
Pretty landlocked there.
They make fiberglass boats.
Yeah,
but I'm thinking boats. That's the only boat.
Yeah.
Batman. Yeah, I mean, granted, it was a nice-looking boat. So.
The Batboat.
Yeah, the Batboat. Because I remember Robin got on top and fired a bazooka out of it, remember?
Bat-zooka.
All I remember is some days you can't get rid of a bomb.
Yep.
What is the claim to fame of the SS St. Mary's Challenger? Good Detroit-based trivia.
St. Mary's Challenger? I never heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
Claim to fame.
She has a
was
claim
it like
to
the
fame.
Sister ship to like the Edmund Fitzgerald or something like that?
That's a good guess, but she definitely has something that Edmund Fitzgerald doesn't have anymore.
She floats?
She's still afloat?
Yeah, I'm giving partial credit. So that's the oldest active ship that still sails the Great Lakes. She was built in 1906.
Wow.
So been kicking for more than 100 years.
Well, we might have seen her go by down at the Yacht Club at some point.
You never know. You never know. Feels like, in comparison to like an Edmund Fitzgerald-sized boat, she's probably like a rowboat, but still.
I'd hate to be one of the crew living in a cabin that was built in 1906.
Yes. I'd hate to be one of those people, too, and I hate to have to do this, but it's time for us to say goodbye, Professor Hill Vasquez.
Bye.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Maggio.
See ya.
Professor Tubbs.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Professor Abbasid.
Take care.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Today, Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.